The rest of us can turn in our Bibles to the book of 1 Peter. We've been talking about the names of Christ. Again, this is not an exhaustive study. To do an exhaustive study would require a massive amount of time and development to do that, because there's so many names. As I said, there's the pages that I had were multiple, 4, 5, 6 pages of microscopic font with all those names that are listed on there. But when we think about all of the names, even the ones that we're looking at in this study, each one has an impact in our lives. Not only does it talk about those traits and attributes, but it talks about what he does, what he has done, and what he will do, as we've seen with some of those names. And we're going to move into the subject of the next name that we find. We've talked about him being the Advocate, the Almighty, Alpha and Omega, the Apostle, and the Author. And this morning, we're going to talk about him being the Bishop of our souls. So in 1 Peter chapter 2 and in verse 25, 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 25, it says, "For ye were as sheep going astray, but now are returned unto the Shepherd and Bishop of your souls." Let's go ahead and pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I do thank you again for this time and opportunity to be here this morning. I thank you for all those that have come that are desiring to hear from your word. I pray, Lord, that through all of these things that you will very clearly show us what it is we need to know, what it is we need to understand, what it is about you that is important in our lives, particularly about this bishop and shepherd. And Lord, that position and title you have that leads, that guides, that draws us near to you, that calls us by name, that Lord, we would understand how important that is to us. I thank you again, Lord, for these for this time and these things that we're going to study this morning. And I do pray it'll all be done in your sight as pleasing and glorifying to you. And this I ask in your Son's name, Jesus Christ. Amen. So in 1 Peter chapter 2, it very clearly the Apostle Peter is talking to Jewish believers. And we understand that the nation of Israel is often referred to as a flock. Peter was given a very clear commission at the end of the Gospel of John about feeding the flock. And what we find is that the Lord uses individuals to do that. But above all of that, there is one good chief shepherd that is in charge of it all, and that is Lord Jesus Christ. And as we go through Scripture, there's many things that we find about us in Israel being compared to sheep, about what we as believers need to do to follow him. And we're going to examine this title this morning. That term, shepherd and bishop, they're synonymous with each other, and they both have this definition, if you will, that is very clearly showing that there is an overseer or somebody that is to care for, lead, and guide any type of a flock. And this is something that is specific. You know, when you talk about people regarding cattle, they are referred to as ranchers or something of that nature. When we start talking about bishops and shepherds, we're talking about specifically two types of animals. We're talking about either goats or we're talking about sheep. And God says, you're either going to be one of the two. You're either going to be a goat or you're going to be a sheep. And I will tell you this, being a goat is not a good thing. Being a goat is something that is, the Lord doesn't have some favorable things to say about goats. But what we do find is that the Lord says some favorable things about sheep, even though sheep are not the most, they're not the smartest critters in God's creation. You look at them and you just like, wow, they just don't get it sometimes. And it, I hate to say this, but we really are sheep, amen? I mean, you know, we follow after anything. We're scared of our own shadow. You know, we roll over on our back and we think it's the end of the world. We just lay down and die. I mean, you know, we talked about that when we studied the Shepherd's Psalm over in Psalm 23, which we'll reference this morning. But this isn't about us. This is about God as the shepherd. This is about what his duty, if you will, is for us. And for a believer, there should be some great comfort with that title. When we think about all these different titles, they're going to invoke in us certain types of thoughts. They're going to have us meditate and think about certain types of things that the Lord does for us. And one of the things that we have to think about, one of the things that we have to focus on, is how comforting it is that the Lord is our shepherd. Let's go ahead. I mean, you can keep your place there in 1 Peter, but let's go over to the book of Psalms. We'll take a look at that very familiar psalm in Psalm chapter 23. It's a short little psalm. There is a lot of detail in these six verses. There's a lot of importance about it only being six verses. There's a lot of things that we look at that very clearly demonstrate to us what the Lord's doing for our lives. And again, the greatest thing that I see here in the verse one is it says, the Lord is my shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. Not the Lord was my shepherd, not the Lord will be my shepherd, but it is now a current, present thing. That is what the Lord is in your life. This is what individuals need to understand. Now, we can talk about the collective congregation of sheep, the flock itself, but this is talking about a personal, identified relationship with that shepherd. And it says very clearly in that verse, I shall not want. I shall not want. There's a comfort behind all of that. There's a comfort when we start talking about what he does for us. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. And verse 4 is one of the most common verses that we think about. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Again, talking about sheep, they're scared of shadows. They are terrified of shadows. They see a shadow and they think it's a deep, dark gulf. They can't figure it out that they need to move on the other side of it. Until one sheep or the shepherd leads them into it and they realize, oh, there's no harm here. I mean, that's a sheep. So when we think about what the shepherd is doing here, it says that he's going to be with us. Through all of these things, it says, for thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. And we talked about the rod and the staff, what that is. That's the word of God. That's what that is. And there's comfort with that. There's comfort with the word of God. He is referred to as the comforter. There is comfort when we start thinking about, he says there's another comforter coming, the Holy Spirit. What does the Holy Spirit do? He teaches us in the Word of God. All these things we start thinking about and we come to this realization of how important it is to know that Jesus is that bishop, that he is that shepherd of our souls, the spiritual component of us. And it's not just our lives in general in the physical sense. It is a true, deep down, inside of us, guidance. Now look, I know for a fact that the Lord has led me physically in certain things. There was a period of time in my life where I was a young man, and I would go to the bank. This was before the days of direct deposit, amen? And what did you have to do? You had to take your paycheck that you received in a physical form, go all the way over to the bank and deposit it, right? I mean, they started getting really fancy and you could start doing it through the ATMs. But I always a little suspicious of those, so I just kind of went to the bank every single week and would drop off my paycheck and put it in my little bank account and you know, hopefully try to save money and watch it just go out the door to whatever I was involved in. But I would, every time I would go, I would show up at a certain time, and sure enough, there was a bunch of cops around the bank. I'm like, what's this? Now, what is all of this that's going on? And I'd walk in, and there's cops talking to people and interviewing people, and I'd walk up to the teller, and I'm like, you guys got robbed, didn't you? And they're like, I can't say anything. And they'd be like, I can't say anything. I can't say anything. You're like, oh, okay. It's one of those politician denials. I can neither confirm nor deny. But, I mean, it was very evident. And this was happening like with at least once or twice a month. I'm like, what is with this bank? Why is it constantly being targeted? What is happening here? I was like, what is all of this? It was the most bizarre thing I'd ever seen. And I know that the Lord had guided me through that. Because He knows me. He knows my thought processes. He knows where I was at that point in time in my life. And He knows probably what I would have done. And the Lord said, no, you're not going to do that. The Lord guided me physically. But this is more than just a physical guidance. This is something that is soulish in nature, where He says, look, I'm going to guide your soul where it needs to be. And I'm going to guide it in the spiritual Word of God to give you that comfort, to give you those things. Going back to this slide here, you know, it talks about a shepherd is one that remains watchful of those who cannot necessarily watch over themselves and are typically weak in nature. That's what we are. You know, the Bible talks about us being circumspect, amen? It says we're supposed to walk, being aware of our surroundings. This morning, last two mornings, I'm way off. I'm like, you know, I'm standing up here just kind of struggling right now just to kind of move through all of these things. But I will say this, I wasn't quite circumspect. I'm standing downstairs and Bob has to tell me, hey. And I'm like, what? And then, you know, here comes Carly up behind me and I'm like, oh. And they're saying, no, we didn't put a new wall there. You know, I wasn't circumspect. I wasn't aware she was. She snuck up on me. All right. She's stealthy like that. She's going to get you. But I was just kind of like, I wasn't aware. You know, that's kind of the way we are sometimes in our spiritual walk. We're not aware of everything that goes on. We're not aware of all the dangers. I am fully convinced, and this is my opinion, that one day when we get to heaven, God's going to show us everything. And I'm 100% convinced that we're going to give more glory, honor, and praise to Jesus Christ for taking care of us when we weren't aware. Amen? And I'm not talking about the physical close calls. I'm talking about the spiritual things. And how He guides us and how He directs us. We're weak. You know, you go over there to 2 Corinthians and Paul's, you know, lamenting a little bit about his situation of that thorn that is in the flesh. And again, it's very ambiguous for a reason, because it can be fit to everything that goes on in our life, whether it's mental, whether it's physical, whether it's spiritual, whatever it may be that is that thorn that bothers us. But regardless of all of that, it's not identified so that we can say, I'm weak in all those things. I'm weak in all those things. This past Friday Bible study with the men downstairs, we were talking about some of those things, about how do you accomplish the daily vows that we're supposed to have in our life. And you know, Psalm 61 makes it very evident about how those things are accomplished and how those things are done. But I will tell you this, as we are weak in nature, and as Romans 7, verse 18 says, He doesn't know in the flesh how to perform that which is good. How do I do that? How do I do what is right? And one of the biggest things that we have to submit to is realizing I am weak. I need a shepherd. I need a shepherd. I don't know about the dangers. I'm not aware about the predator that is out there. I mean, I am aware, but I don't know where he is. I'm not sure if he's around the next corner. But the Word of God and the Holy Spirit and who Jesus Christ is and all of this encompassed in this title, he's the one that's going to say, hey, you shouldn't walk there. There's a trap. Hey, don't go that direction. There's a pit and a rut. You don't want to get stuck in that. If you've had any type of social media, I'm sure you've seen the little meme of there's this big ditch and there's these, looks like it's over in Europe somewhere. There's this big ditch and these guys have got this sheep that is stuck in the ditch and it's flailing about and it's trying to do all sorts of stuff. And they're like, and it usually, it says at the top, it says something along the nature, Jesus Christ in me. And it shows them, you know, the eventually the shepherd grabs a hold of the sheep and they pull the sheep out and the sheep bounds out of there and he's bouncing around and he bounces right back into the ditch. And you're just like, no. And you get convicted, amen? Yes. You get convicted and you're like, oh, wow, that is me, amen? But that's why we need the shepherd. That's why this is one of the most important titles of what he is. Bishop of our souls, our shepherd. And he watches over us. He takes care of us. He leads us into the places that are going to give us food, that are going to give us shelter, that are going to give us water. And through his word, he leads us into those paths of righteousness. That's the only way you're going to know how to do right. The world has a very twisted idea of what it is to be right. Amen? I mean, you think about what the world says is right. And we know what the Bible says. You know, there's going to come a time when when people are going to call that which is good evil and evil good. Amen? We know that. We are in that bit of that day and age. We watch these things and we watch how adamant they are about this logic. And again, you can fit any type of whatever, I don't even know what to call it, points they try to make, and you can realize, wow, that goes dark really quick. That goes dark really quick about the value of human life. And they don't think it through. They don't think it through. They don't think about all of the stuff, all of the implications that are there. And as the Bible says, what do? They oppose themselves. You don't need to debate them. They debate themselves and show their own contradiction. And the Lord is very clear with this, that's how he's going to lead us through his word. And he does this with a very, very careful hand. And when we do that, and we do that which is right, even in the face of opposition, we find a refreshment in our souls. We may not have a physical refreshment, but we may have a spiritual refreshment. As he teaches us and as he guides us, and we know that's the right decision. I know it's the right decision because that's what the Word of God says is the right decision. I mean, that's our filter. That's what we look at everything in this life and we ask the question, is that the right thing to do? Well, does it match the Word of God? If it goes against the Word of God, I will tell you this, if it goes against any doctrine, truth, or biblical principle that is established in the Word of God, it was not the voice of the shepherd you listened to. It was something else. It was something else. And it brings us a refreshment. It stays with us through all these. Here he is staying with us through all the difficult times, the difficult areas in our life. Turn over to the book of John. John chapter 10. John chapter 10. John chapter 10 is the passage when you want to start talking about Jesus Christ as that shepherd. And what he does, and how he behaves, and how he cares for us. In John chapter 10, verse 1, it says, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same as a thief and a robber." There's your filter, folks. If it doesn't go through the door of Jesus, it's something else. That's a thief and a robber that's trying to destroy you. Verse 2, it says, "But he that entereth by the door is the shepherd of the sheep." That's Jesus Christ. "To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calleth his own sheep by name." I love that part right there. He knows our name. He just doesn't call, "Hey, sheep. Sheep number 73, come here." No. It's Ken. I'm not sure if he's going to call me Ken, Kenny, or Kenneth. I'm not sure about that. But he calls me by name, amen? Calls me by name, and it says here, "And he leadeth them out." He takes us out of that area of protection for the night and then takes us over to where it is that we need to feed and where it is we need to water. We're not to be agoraphobic. We're to be out there in the world. And it says, "And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. And a stranger they will not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of the strangers." We need to get familiar with the voice of Jesus Christ. We need to get familiar with the voice of the Word of God. If we're not familiar with the voice of the Word of God, then we are going to wind up getting taken away. And when we hear something that is contrary to the voice of God, we run the other direction. It's good to run, amen? There's things that the Scripture says, flee. Joseph fled. We find that he says over to Timothy, there's some things that you need to flee. Flee youthful lusts. Flee this, flee that, flee iniquity. Flee. And he says, you hear a different voice, flee. You don't need to stick around and listen to it. Go the other way. In verse 6, it says, "In this parable, spake Jesus unto them, but they understood not what things they were which he spake unto them. And then Jesus said unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep." So not only is he the shepherd, but he's also the door. He's the protection. He's the one that lets things in and out. He's that filter. "And all that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find into pasture." He's talking about he is the way, amen? He is the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father except by Jesus Christ. And it says, "The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life, and they might have it more abundantly." An abundant life for the sheep. That's not prosperity theory, folks. Okay, we're not talking about wealth, health, and all that jazz, okay? Because I will tell you this, you can be doing the will of God and doing everything that the Lord wants you to, and your health can fail. It can just, all of a sudden, your body says, "Hey, you know what? We're just going to discharge that part today." We're not going to do that. Doesn't mean you're out of the will of God. Doesn't mean you're out of the will of God. And it says, "I am the good shepherd." And here we are. Not only does he call himself a shepherd, not only is he the bishop of our souls, but he puts that descriptor in there, good. Because there's a difference, amen? There's a difference between a bad shepherd and a good shepherd. I've been under certain pastors that are kind of referred to in the past, you know, in the Bible as shepherds. But again, they have to be sure those shepherds are following the shepherd, the good shepherd. Yeah. And some of those shepherds have been bad shepherds. They got their own agendas. They got their own things that they want to do. They're filled with pride, whatever it may be. And they do all sorts of things that they should not. And the end result is they're bad shepherds. But look, there's bad shepherds. I mean, look, you don't stop going to church because there's bad shepherds. Okay? That's like saying, oh, I'm not going to go to the doctor as you're bleeding out because, you know, I had a bad experience with my PCP. That's primary care physician. I should probably clarify my little acronyms there. You don't say, well, I'm not going to call the cops when somebody's breaking into my house because I had a bad experience or one cop was a little abrupt with me as I was breaking the law, you know, driving down. He was a little irritated with me as he was giving me the speeding ticket. He should have been kind and nice. You're like, wait a second. Look, Jesus Christ is the good shepherd. He's the one that clearly, through all of this, is going to lead us into the paths that are good. And it is his goodness. He says, I'm the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. And that's what it comes down to. We start going through the rest of these verses here. And as we see, as we go down through all of it, it says in verse 12, but he that is a hireling and not the sheep, whose own sheep, who own the sheep are not, seeth the wolf coming and leaveth the sheep and fleeth, and the wolf catcheth them and scattereth the sheep. The hireling fleeth because he is a hireling and careth not for the sheep. I am the good shepherd and know my sheep and am known of mine. The Father knoweth me, even so I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. The other sheep I have, and other sheep I have, which are not of this fold, them also must I bring. You know who that is, folks? That's us. That's who he's talking to. Talking about. He's talking to some Jewish apostles here, some Jewish disciples, to some Jews. And he says, look, there's other ones out there. If he goes back and references again over in John chapter 17 in his prayer, there are other sheep. It's not just Israel, folks. It's us too. And he says that he's got to bring them into this fold. And he says, and they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd. And that's Ephesians right there. Therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life that I might take it again. No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have the power to lay it down. I have the power to take it again. This commandment I have received of my Father. You know what he's saying right there? What makes him a good shepherd? He's willing to give his life. He gave his life for us. For the sheep. He allowed his body to be destroyed. He went through all these things that we know about with the crucifixion, the persecution, the crucifixion, the burial, right, rising again, all of those things he did for us. And he makes it very clear here, look, most shepherds aren't going to do that. Why? They're not, that's not their responsibility. It's not their sheep. I remember when I was working retail and we were talking about what would happen if you ever did, somebody came up and you were going to get robbed, whether it was at the pharmacy or whether it was at the cash registers or wherever it was, what was the thing that we were told? Give it to them. Your life isn't worth it. Your life isn't worth it. Don't fight them. Don't play hero. Just give it. It's just money. I mean, there's a lot of things that we have to consider about that. You know, when I was going through certain training, there was this understanding of if somebody comes in and tries to steal something or take something, you have to sit there and analyze it. Is it worth it? Is it worth your life? I mean, back in the day, you know, here they are taking your VCR. Remember those things, folks? They're taking your VCR. You can go get another one for $50. It's not worth killing somebody for it, even though they're in your house. Let them drop it. Let them run outside the door with it. You don't need to shoot them. You don't need to kill them. What is it doing? It's training you to understand the human life. And yeah, they might be a thief. They might be a robber. But, you know, You take all those things into consideration. You just let it go. You know, a hireling is kind of like that. They're not his sheep. So the hireling just says, okay. But it's the shepherd, the good shepherd, the one that is willing to lay down his life, that did lay down his life, that can take that title, that can be the shepherd, that is the bishop of our souls. That is why he's qualified to do these things. And what we find out about Jesus as a shepherd is that when he's referred to as the good shepherd, meaning his nature of goodness towards the sheep, is evident because he laid down his life. Because he laid down his life. And because of this, he does establish the right to be the bishop of our souls. I want you to turn to the book of Hebrews. Let's turn to the book of Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 13. Hebrews chapter 13. In verse 20, it says, "Now the God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you perfect in every good work to do his will, working in you that which is well-pleasing in his sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen." Did you notice that there? Go back to verse 20. It says, "Now the God of peace." The God of peace. Well, who is Jesus Christ? He's God, amen? So it just called God the shepherd. At the same time, we understand that it was calling the Lord the shepherd in Psalm 23, and Jesus Christ refers to himself as the shepherd. That's why the Jews, the Pharisees, and the scribes, and the lawyers, and the priests got angry with Jesus. Because they knew there was only one shepherd. And they knew him as the Lord God. And here he is saying, "I am the Lord God," to them. Even though he's referencing the Father and himself, he is saying, "I am the Father, I am God, I am the shepherd." And they were like, "That's blasphemy." But it's not. And here, this is to Hebrews again, because they have a hard time understanding that. They have a hard time grasping that concept. And I'm not talking about grasping it in the sense of understanding. You're never going to understand the Trinity. It just, I mean, that is a doctrine that when you look at, you're just going to scratch your head and go, I don't know how that works. Because we're not God. We can't understand that. We see things that are triune, like us, body, soul, and spirit. People try to explain the Trinity. I remember back in like junior church and Sunday school classes that explain it like an egg. And I'm like, wait, there, you know, as you grow older, you realize there's more parts to the egg than just the three, the shell, the yolk, and the white. We understand that there's more than three things, but there's nothing on this world that is a Trinity. It's just God. It's Him and Him alone. So when we see this passage where it says, "Now the God of peace," which we'll get to again, is who is that? That's the Prince of Peace. Well, who is the Prince of Peace? Jesus Christ. But as we move through this a little bit further, it says that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep. Here he is identifying and saying, look, all of these things are leading to this understanding of him being the shepherd, God being our shepherd, Jesus Christ being our shepherd. And he refers to him as the great shepherd. So not only is he a bishop, not only is he a shepherd, not only is he a good shepherd, he's the great shepherd. When you talk about that word great, that means there is none better. It is the top of the escalation chain, being great. Who is greater than God? No one. Who is greater than the great shepherd? No one. Somebody might say, well, I'm a good shepherd too, but you'll never be the great shepherd because of this, because of the resurrection, because of him laying down his life for us, because of all of that. And that's what makes him that shepherd in verse 21 to do what? To lead us into those things that are good for us, the good works that we are called to do according to Ephesians 2:10. He says the way that you're going to do that is what? Being perfected by him in that good work to do his will. I'll just clarify this real quick. God's will always be good work. It will never be anything else other than good work. If it's just work, it may not be God's will. If it's a bad work, an evil work, if it's a work of the flesh, that's not God's will. It is the work of God to do his will. And it says, working in you that which is pleasing in his sight. That's where it becomes important for us to understand that we yield to the shepherd. We go where the shepherd tells us to go. We're sheared when we're sheared. All of those things are leading us into this understanding that this is what God wants us to do, and it takes being a submitted sheep. You know what happens to a rebellious sheep? He makes personal friends with mint jelly. You're like, what does that even mean? Apparently, mint jelly and lamb go good together very well when you eat them. A rebellious sheep is going to turn into something that is going to be dead. It's going to fight against God. It's going to fight against his will. It's going to fight against all those things. Well, the Lord makes it clear. He makes it very clear here that this is what we are to do to be pleasing in his sight. We have to allow the work of God in our lives. We have to allow him to lead us. We have to allow him to be that shepherd. A sheep's going to have to make a choice. Which one is the one that is actually going to be the bishop, the caretaker, the overseer, the protector of our souls? Well, it certainly isn't the devil, because he's there to steal, rob, and destroy. He does a great job at that. He does a great job at that. Turn over to the book of Mark. Mark chapter 14. Mark chapter 14. This is an amazing thing to think about. In verse 26, it says, and when they had sung a hymn, and they went out into the Mount of Olives, and Jesus saith unto them in verse 27, all ye shall be offended because of me this night. For it is written, I will smite the shepherd, and the sheep shall be scattered. When that happened, that caused a lot of them to question. They were afraid. They were worried. But what do you find happening? After the resurrection, after they had been scattered, here comes that bishop of their souls and calls them. And calls them to a ministry. And calls them to commissions. And calls them to do his work. And calls them to be sheep. And even move up to, if you will, caretakers of those sheep, to feed the flocks, to care for the flocks, to do that work. Look, sometimes there are going to be things that we get offended about and we scatter. You know, when sin and stuff comes up in our life, sometimes we run the other direction. We run away from church. We run away from God. We run away from the Word of God. We run away from those things. And I will tell you this, that's not the right direction. If you're going through those things, what do? You go to the shepherd. You go to him. You let him lead you to the right spot. You let him lead you to that place that is going to be well watered and definitely good grass. Knowing that he is the one that has laid down his life for us so that we may have forgiveness of sins. Taking our punishment, taking what was rightfully ours. Go back over there to 1 Peter, in 1 Peter chapter 2. And the thing is that we have a tendency sometimes to go astray. There's multiple passages that talk about us as sheep going astray. This isn't the only one. We know the verse that says, all we like sheep have gone astray. We know that one. We sing about it. Prone to wander. We sing about those things. And here he says, for ye were as sheep going astray, but now are returned unto the shepherd and bishop of your souls. We got to get back to him. You know, the nation of Israel has got to get back to God. They've got to get back to Jesus Christ, who is God. And that's very clearly evident in Scripture. And they're not there right now. But I will say this, when we look at this passage and it talks about returning, that's what we need to do. Regardless of where we go off to, if Jesus hasn't led us there, if it's not where we're supposed to be, we got to return back and understand that he's the one that's got to guide us. He's the one that's got to direct us. He's the one that's got to show us. He's got to be the one that leads us into those paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Not ours, but for him. That's where his glory comes. When we are sheep that follow him. You know, this is one of these titles that as we think about and meditate on, I'm sure we can probably find more and more and more and more and more about who he is as far as the shepherd goes. Because the references in the passages to sheep and shepherd, there's quite a few. These are just a few select ones. But as we think about that, let's make sure that truly we are following him. That's the concept of having him as the bishop. I know that's not a term that we often refer to. It's a term that seems to have a religious connotation to it, sometimes a negative connotation to it, because other individuals and other religions take and misuse it. But it is very much a pastoral, as in a caretaker and a husbandman type word. He refers to pastors as bishops too. It's something that we have to think about. How is it that the Lord guides us? And are we following him? Let's close with a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you again for the time. Thank you again, Lord, for all that you teach us from your word about you being that bishop. I pray, Lord, that as we think about it and contemplate, that, Lord, we would be sheep that do follow you. Listen to your voice, heed your voice in your word, guiding us into those paths that are going to glorify you in your name. I thank you again, Lord, for this time. I pray, Lord, that we would just continue to be humble in our heart, spirit, and our mind, that we would receive what you have for us through the rest of this day. And this I ask in your Son's precious and most holy name, Jesus Christ. Amen.